ahead and call the meeting to order. It's Wednesday, March 2nd, and this is the Franklin Board of Health meeting. As a preliminary matter, my name is Bridget Sweet. Permit me to confirm that all members in person who participate on the agenda are present and can hear me. Members, when I call your name, please respond to the affirmative. Jeff Harris.
Yes, here.
Hi. Tim Cochran.
Is Tim on you?
I don't know. I don't know where Zoom is now. Tim, can you hear us? I'm just gonna type in the chat.
I'm here.
I can hear you.
We can't hear you.
All right, can you try one more time?
It's coming out over here.
It's coming out of my phone, which is weird because we're not muted. All right, well, I'm just gonna... But you can hear us. All right, hold on. Let me finish this and then I'll turn the phone up and this one down. Staff, oh boy, I have lists everywhere. Kathleen Liberty.
Right here.
Matt Tanis.
Yeah.
Alicia.
Here.
Is it Cassia or?
Cassia.
Cassia, sorry. Yeah. Switching name left and right. Melissa.
Here.
All right. Cool. So good afternoon. This is an open meeting and public hearing of the Franklin Board of Health being conducted as a hybrid model, which means we're meeting in person as well as conference via the Zoom application. Please note that this is being recorded. Please remember to mute your phone or computer when you're not speaking. And please let us know if you have a question by raising your hand. And again, I just want to confirm that everyone here can hear us. There's two chats going on. I can hear Tim. Oh, Tim. Oh, look at you, Alan. You can hear Tim, but we can't. I'm telling you, it's the name. All right. So with that being said, the meeting called to order. The first item on the agenda is acceptance of the February 2nd minutes.
Do you want to stay there?
Or... I'm going to run. Okay. I'm leaving. I'm just yelling to yell. I'm really good at it.
Can
if you mute, are you muted now?
I'm not muted, but can,
yeah, if you want to mute.
Can Tim vote if he's just doing the chat? Oh, that's,
yeah, he can.
I love the sound effects in there.
Sorry, hopefully this, what'd you say, Tim?
It's gone again. I heard him for a second.
Can you hear us still, Tim?
Yep, I can hear.
Heard. Awesome. All right, so the first item on the agenda is the acceptance of the February 2nd minutes that we did receive via email previously in the week. Is there any discussion on the minutes that we received regarding the February 2nd Board of Health meeting?
No.
Jeff has a no. Tim?
No comments.
No comments. Heard. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second the motion.
Okay, all in favor, roll call vote. I'll go with Jeff.
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And Bridget Sweet votes yes. All in favor. Marvelous. So our next item on the agenda is old business. Is there any old business for the board?
Update about 27 Winter Street.
Okay, so we do have an update for 27 Winter Street. I'm going to pass the con over to Kathleen so she can yell into the phone now.
I will yell into the phone. yeah, and it's business unknown at time of posting. So 27 Winter Street pulled a permit, was pulled today for a demo. So we're happy about that. I'll update the board in... Well, wait a minute, hold on, where am I? I'll update the board in April as to when the demo will take place.
Any questions? Can you ask them if there are any questions?
Any questions?
No questions. Thanks so much for staying.
No questions.
It's taken a long time and a lot of energy, so we appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm excited, but funny though, it just got pulled today. So I thought that was kind of fun. All right, hold on.
So actually, it goes to you because now we have the hearing request for 71B North Park Street.
Do I have to hold it or can I put it down?
You can put it down. I'd like you to hold it though, like it's a microphone, because that's fun. All right. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Not yelling, though.
Just kidding.
So
you can put it down.
If the board remembers, we have formed a habitable housing task force, and we had several properties that we were inspecting that were not occupied for several different reasons. 71B North Park Street is one of the dwellings. It's a two-family considered a condo. So an order to correct letter went to Mr. Glenn Cross, and another one went to the owner of 71A after Matt Tannis did the inspection. Attorney Padula requested a hearing just so he could speak to the board about where they're at this time on this particular dwelling. So I'm going to hand the floor off to Attorney Padula.
Thank you. So my name is Peter Padula. I represent Mr. Glenn Cross. We got this letter and we responded to the request of the hearing so we could bring you up to speed. This is a kind of a complex situation. This is a building that someone, we're told approximately 100 years ago, drew a line down, a property line down. Typically with a condo, you have a piece of land and you have a structure on it, and the land's owned in common, and the condos are broken up. The building itself is broken up on a plan of land, but the property's in common. What they did with this one is they literally, someone drew a line right down the middle of the house and has two separate lots. So even though the houses are adjoining and they're called a condo, it's safe to say it's done terribly wrong. It's not how you do condominiums. So there's other matters pending in court. There's a matter pending in land court regarding this property by Attorney Powers. John Powers is handling that piece. There's a matter pending against the closing attorney. That's also pending another court matter that's going on with this property. And Mr. Glenn Cross knows that we have to take care of the property, take care of this issue. The game plan is, because they're still dealing with issues regarding insurance settlements, and that's coming to a close, but they have to deal with now the raising the property. We've just got a written estimate for to raise the property. The other side apparently has gotten an oral estimate to raise the property. We're trying to bring both parties together, come up with an agreement, so we can simply just have the property raised, and then they can deal with any issues with the town on what they're going to do subsequent to that. But we're working diligently. If it were one person, I think it's safe to say if it was just Mr. Glenn Cross, this would be done and we wouldn't be here right now. But because there's another person involved, and it's been interesting in trying to kind of get everybody on board with what they want to do, I guess it's kind of like herding cats. We're just having trouble getting everyone on board, but we're getting close.
And just so the board knows, I didn't reveal this, is that this particular dwelling was hit by lightning 6 months ago, maybe a little bit more now. So it's been open to the weather and unoccupied. And so this is one of the reasons we want it either repaired or raised, which it's beyond bringing it up to minimum standards. So that's one of the reasons why the attorney's here with his client.
We know you want us to get off the pot at some point, and that's what we want to do, right? So, we really do want to do that.
What's the timetable on all this?
As soon as people agree to it, that's the timetable. Make application for the demo permit, but it's got to get the parties to agree, and that's been the tricky part right now. But yeah, I've only been involved a few weeks, a month or so, and we've already gotten two estimates now for the appraisal. I didn't know that was going to come together that quickly. And now we have two, and they're close, so they got to pick. But both sides need to be, we're ready to go. Mr. Glenn Cross will do what he's told, because he knows what needs to be done over there. Just a function of making sure we get the other side on board. They have counsel, you know, so it's not like they're doing it pro se. Right. Sometimes it's good having counsel, sometimes not so good, right? But this one, it's actually trying to move it along and try to get everybody together and understand what needs to be done.
And although we definitely appreciate that, I just want to bring it to the board that the Attorney General's office is also involved with this. And so they'll take their cue from us to a point before they bring it to housing court. And so I think it would be good to, like we did with 27 Winter Street, to put a time frame on it, and then have the attorney Padula just update me every month until you see fit to that it's enough and it needs to go to housing court. I did speak with the building commissioner briefly tonight to let him know that there was a hearing being held. He would like the property raised by June 1st, but again, because it's the board has to decide on the time frame, but I'm just giving you his recommendation right now.
So
My question is, you're representing one half of the home. Have we had any conversations with the other half of the home?
No, the lawyer and the occupant, or the owner, has not reached out to me.
But you, through counsel, have had conversations with the other half of the home?
I have not. John Powers has been dealing with that piece.
Okay.
So what'll happen, he's away this week, so when he gets back, I suspect what we'll do is try to get together with, well, not try, he'll get together with the counsel and say, we got some numbers. Because you know, it's the pushing on this side, this is good for us. We welcome it. You know, we're ready to
support you. As
we're ready to go. You know, we want to do this. So as soon as we come to an agreement, we'll let them go forward and raise the property.
With the process that you have to undertake, do you think June 1st is reasonable?
I don't know what the scheduling's like. You know, that's the piece.
Yeah, that's
what, once it's agreed, it's just a matter of scheduling with the people who do the demo.
Yeah.
You know.
So. I'll defer to you after, and then you, Tim. You know, I'm yelling into the computer. That's that. So I think that I don't want to give you. I'm not comfortable giving a timeline yet until you meet and have more information. So I think, as you said, I think monthly updates, at least through May, are at least a good start. But I would hate to give you a hard deadline and have you be doing all your good due diligence and just hitting that wall. And it's not fair to come down with that deadline when you are here doing the best you can and someone else is sort of. So maybe we don't put a deadline until next month as to the raising?
Yeah, the Attorney General's office is going to send a soft demand letter.
Okay.
To both owners.
Okay.
Or lawyers now, actually, because you gave me the information for the other owners of the lawyers. So we can talk about this in April.
Okay. Are you... Tim, are you okay with kind of, we got some information, I'm sorry, again, I'm yelling. You know, my brain does work on Tuesdays, even though it's Wednesday. Are you okay with deferring this until April when there's more information from both sides? I hate to be the heavy on you guys when there's another party involved. So just having everyone on the same page, I think, is helpful. Tim? You're on one.
Yeah, I would be in favor of holding off for a month before setting any deadlines.
All right, hold on, I gotta go see our other counterpart. Can't say we're not the best Board of Health ever. Here you are, sir.
Yeah. I am also in favor of holding off, I think. It's a wise way to go at this point.
If I may.
Absolutely,
I'm not in favor of it. I just want to let the board know that I'm not in favor of it.
So. I'm not saying we're going to defer indefinitely, but I think we need more information until April to give these guys a hard deadline. And you can go ahead, tell us why you're not, though.
Well, I'm not in favor of it because although this attorney and his client, the homeowner, are working diligently to get this done, there's more to this story, I think, that meets the eye from what I understand from Mr. Glencross actually talking to you originally with the other owner.
Oh, I talked to you on the phone?
Yeah, that was
okay, it wasn't true.
And so I just, and where the other owner and the other attorney have not reached out to me at all to even come here and talk to the board, that's a red flag for me. And again, it's been sitting there wide open, it's a safety hazard. And I just think, like 27 Winter Street, it's going to become very problematic. We have not had a lot of police calls there yet, but again, it's on our scope as far as the Habitable Housing Task Force, and so I just would like to see it move faster than not.
So what do you propose? Because I'm not comfortable giving these guys a deadline of June to raise it if there's something, like what would be your preferred timeline?
Why don't we do what we do with 27 Winter Street, that there will be an update every
right,
month.
Right, okay, absolutely.
From both owners or both attorneys.
I assume that's what we're gonna do anyway.
That's kind of how, I probably just didn't explain that. Well, I would like the update regardless. I just don't wanna give a hard date of June if they're not moving towards their target. So definitely an update from both parties for the April meeting.
Okay.
And then once there's more information from both parties, figuring out then what that harder timeline, because after we met with 27 Winter the first time, upon direction from Matt, you gave them additional sort of guidance as to dates. So just trying to follow that same timeline and not, yes.
Right.
So it would still be the monthly update. So if I didn't mean to give that impression. So absolutely monthly update by April. And then with more information on April, figure out what's next at that point. And if April we're not getting the answers that you need and it needs that hard deadline of June to raise it, It is what it is.
Okay, all right. I think I misunderstood.
No, that was for, it's fine with me. Like I said, not my coffee today.
I think there's a lot of things that can occur that can delay it too, like 27 Winter Street with different abatements of the asbestos, and then there were utility issues, which that's what they finally got squared away today to be able to issue that permit.
Exactly.
So
that's what I'm worried about. Yeah.
You know, that's
while it stands wide open, right. All those issues are being taken care of. Yeah. And that took several months.
Right.
To get all that squared away.
Almost 4 months.
4 months, yeah. Just to get all the utilities and all of that.
So I think it's reasonable for a monthly update for both parties. Right. So you heard a demand, right? So that's good. And then you'll put it in writing for the other side?
Both.
Right. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Any questions for you both?
Well, no, I respect the position, and I think that our plan is to do more than monthly updates. If we hear something next week, we're going to let you know. So
okay.
I'm not going to wait a whole month. We're going to be talking to you on a regular basis, and I suspect at least twice before the next meeting. So just to keep you updated, because we would love to have this thing moved along as
I
well.
Know.
You know. So we welcome any input that's going to help move it in that direction, because it needs to be resolved.
Awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you. Awesome.
When's
Thank you.
Next meeting date?
The 6th.
April 6th.
I was like, I don't know. All right, Kathleen, I'm going to hand this off to Matt. It's like Matt's marriage. I'm handing the con. I hand you the con, sir.
We are. Thank you very much. I'll be talking to you soon.
I'll follow up with you.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. So, just so you know, I will send the owner and CC you on a letter that states that we'll be getting monthly updates. Doesn't mean that you have to come to the meeting.
Right.
I will just refer back to the board.
Please, thank you.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you guys. Have a good night.
My month report for February, a little shorter month. I had two housing code inspections. One of those was a MRVP. Inspection. One re-inspection. 12 biannual food inspections, which required a re-inspection, and one general food complaint inspection, which has been squared away, and one miscellaneous joint meeting with the housing task force, and then assisted with two of the COVID youth clinics as well.
Cool. Yeah, that's our paramedic.
I know. Tim, do you have any questions?
Sorry, I will not be here for the April 6th meeting because I will be at the NACHO Summit Conference.
The Emergency Care Demo?
Yes.
Sweet. Good for you.
Coalition approved the payment. So.
Sweet.
She needs to put that on a poll so you can just go around.
I know, I need a poll. I need that selfie stick. Tim, do you have any questions for Matt before we move on?
No. No, thanks so much, Matt.
Yep.
Jeff?
I'm good. Thank you, Matt.
Hard. Excellent, thanks so much, Matt. And for those who couldn't hear, Matt has been selected to attend the Emergency Preparedness Conference in April that our regional coalition has supported. So that's very lucky for us, as well as the region. Next item is our public health nurse report. Anyway, you have the con now. That's so fun.
Thank you. So we had a COVID-19 vaccine clinic on the 23rd. Only had 5 children come in to get vaccinated, but we're gonna try for another one on the 16th of March at the Franklin Senior Center between 4 and 6 p.m. Anyone can come for first or second doses. The flyer with the website is posted on the website. For COVID-19 cases, I did this data yesterday on the 1st, so numbers are subject to change. Total cases for the month of February 2022 so far were 176 cases versus 1,743 in the month of January of 2022.
Wow.
So for February, confirmed cases were 151, probable cases 25. I do have some graphs listed there that you guys can see, just showing the breakdown between ages. And then I did a weekly report just from the beginning of January, because January was so hectic and busy with COVID cases, showing what it looks like up through February thus far with the amount of cases. So you can see, like, the first week of January, 1-1 to 1-7, we had 641 cases in that 1 week, compared to the last week in February from 222 to 228, only 20 cases thus far. big improvement. Central Park Terrace, I did another blood pressure and blood sugar clinic there just to do more community outreach, and I'm going to go back next week again on the 9th, ask the nurse so people can come to me and just see if there are any needs out there. And we're also going to be doing a fun activity of self-care bingo on the 16th, and there will be prizes. We completed enrollment for the state vaccine program, so this is for us to get state-supplied vaccines. It can be used for all children and adolescents up to their 19th birthday, so anyone under the age of 19, even if it's a day before your 19th birthday. And also select state-supplied vaccines for uninsured adults. Still continuing with weekly Zoom and home visits for the tuberculosis case, and so far for influenza since summertime, we've had 33 confirmed cases in Franklin, just confirmed cases.
And if I may, I just want to give you kudos for the amazing work that you had to do to get us enrolled in the state vaccine program. I can't tell you the countless hours she put into this. It was, she was banging her head against a wall. It was mind blowing what we needed. And she did an excellent job. So I just want to let everyone know that was not an easy feat for her to do at all. And I so appreciate it, because that was kind of my goal of having a public health nurse as well. So this was a huge goal met. So I just want to let the board know.
Thank you. Thank you. Tim, do you have any questions for Alicia?
No, thank you so much. Incredible work as always.
Jeff?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Alicia. I know that working with the state and getting that approval is not fun. So now I'm gonna run over to our Epi. Have at it, sister.
All right, so in the month of February, I've been updating the Franklin Dashboard weekly every Friday with COVID-19 cases, vaccinations, and deaths. This past week, from February 17th to February 24th, Franklin had 26 positive COVID-19 cases. Vaccination rates were up to 76%, and there was no COVID-19 deaths in the month of February. Also, we had the COVID-19 vaccination clinic. So in that, create bookmarks, hand those out to the library, kind of to promote the clinic. Also checked in children to the February 9th clinic and helped set up the February 23rd clinic. So I still have some COVID-19 at home tests that we're handing out to Franklin residents. We still have about 16 boxes left with 2 tests in each. I've also created a story map. It analyzed the COVID-19 data from the dashboard to find patterns and explain what the data means, and it's posted on the Franklin Health Department website for residents to read. I've also been researching the impacts of COVID-19. So I've researched, collected, and analyzed data about the impact of COVID-19 on food insecurity in Franklin from 2019 to 2020. And I'm also currently working on researching the impact of COVID-19 on partner violence. I've also been sending out weekly wellness updates through email and text to residents signed up for Regroup about national health observances to raise awareness about important health topics. We're also doing self-care bingo March 16th from 11 to 12. Alicia and I will be going down to Central Park Terrace to educate people about self-care through a bingo game. And also we have the Metro West Health Foundation grant, so I'm in the process of kind of figuring out, researching what the community needs to apply for the Metro West Health Foundation's grant. Oh, and then on the back page, I also include a graph for my dashboard. It shows the cases by month from March 2020 to February 2022, and from January to February we had a 90% decrease in COVID cases, which is great.
That's amazing. It's so great when you see a visual.
Yeah, I think visuals are great. Thank you so much. Tim, any questions? Oh, hold on, I lost you. Any questions?
No questions.
Hard. Jeff?
Yeah, I just had one. On those COVID tests, is there an expiration date at all on those things?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, I can
do
that. You want to answer it?
Oh, there is an expiration date. I'd have to double check the exact date that are on these ones, but as of right now, they're still good. But there are expiration dates.
Oh, okay.
But the expiration date has been extended with the federal use authorization. So just because the expiration date is there doesn't mean it's a hard and fast date. So you can check on the FDA website. They have extended those expiration dates out because they're still effective. And that's because everything has an expiration date now. Car seats have an expiration date. So it's more, literally, so it's more just as like a safety standard. So if they, if people at home do have expired test kits, they probably, they're still effective, they'll still work.
Okay, thank you.
Right, Alicia?
Yeah, I'd still use them.
I feel like a madman. Thank God my knee works now, huh?
Oh yeah, look at you.
I know, right?
Like, you're like one of those game hosts.
No whammy, stop. So I just wanted to kind of reference quickly. I know how much work goes into that community needs assessment to get that grant through the Metro West Health Foundation, so thank you. And that'll be great for the whole community if you do happen to get those foundation grants. And then I wanted Kathleen to kind of touch a little bit more about home test kits.
Yeah, so our Region 2 Emergency Preparedness Region, we have some leftover funds from the state. And since all of us are having, all of us, being the 74 cities and towns, we're all having difficulties getting these home kits. Vendors will not give us an exact date of when we can get the kits in. So our region has decided to utilize our funds, leftover funds, which I believe is about $10,000, to purchase, to a bulk purchase of the home kits that will be distributed to each town and city based on probably population or how many we need. So that's good.
Excellent.
That'll be an update. I also wanted to bring your attention. I have on the agenda the regroup public health message, which Cassia just spoke about in her report. And so I just want to let the board know, I knew your goal in the beginning when you hired me was to get educational information out there. And, you know, we're doing it in a kind of an alternative way. So what this means is people can sign up for a regroup, people in Franklin, and we're sending out, as she wrote, health observances to raise awareness about different national health topics. So it's really kind of fun to just see a text come through with just information, a little bit of information with a link to the CDC for more information. So this is just starting, you know, with COVID coming down, this is just our way of starting to
new initiatives.
Yeah.
Is there any way you can get our DPW director to do a voiceover? Because his phone calls for trash and recycling are amazing. So if you get Bruce to, am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong.
He's wonderful.
So if you get Bruce to come in and
sometimes
do a voiceover, everyone in town will be on board.
Sometimes two or three times.
They're amazing. Don't worry, it's still delayed.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
So next is 90 Daniel Street local upgrade approval request. So basically there's high groundwater in the proposed leaching field. We'll have a 3-foot separation of groundwater where the code requires a 4-foot separation. Wade Saucier supports this upgrade request. I would just ask the board to vote on it.
So they're looking for a reduction from a 4-foot to a 3-foot?
Yes.
Okay, Tim, any questions or discussion?
No questions.
Jeff?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, so all in favor to vote to support the local upgrade approval request for, I have to make a motion, someone has to make a motion first, sorry. Is there a motion to support the approval for 90 Daniel Street from a reduction of 3 feet from 4 feet?
I make a motion to accept it.
Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All right, now we'll do a roll call vote. Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. So all in favor of supporting that local upgrade approval. Cool.
And if I may just say one other thing. So we're on our last COVID clinic for youth, but I just wanna let the board know that between Melissa, Alicia, Matt, and Cassia, we wouldn't have been able to pull these off at all. Plus our MRC volunteers have been amazing. Our police department, you know, they're so grateful to bring in Ben Franklin, which has been a huge help for the youth that have had a lot of anxiety. We have had fire department there, the paramedics, but when we couldn't, Matt is a paramedic and he has been there just in case we had some type of adverse reaction, and we have not. And we've vaccinated over almost 500 youth or 450.
It was more than that.
More.
Because your first, yeah.
We did 300, another 300. Oh, I just ordered right. Another 300. Yeah. I've given some away, but yeah. So what?
Well, probably like 70.
Yeah, so that's a lot, and so I just want to bring this, just to say thank you to all of them. They've been amazing through all of this, and we got one more to go.
At this end.
That'll be it.
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So before I go to citizens' commentary, is there any other new business that anyone on the board or any department member would like to share or bring up?
Oh, yeah, you know what? Steve and I did another podcast. That was what I wanted to, I also wanted to say another way that we're getting information out to the public is podcasts. And Steve and I did another podcast today with Danielle Hopkins and Keith Nisbet. Danielle is our senior center director, and Heath is a board certified music therapist, and so isn't Danielle, who is the director. So we had a real interesting conversation about this type of therapy, which it was just really kind of cool. So this is our fourth podcast on health topics, not to mention the a million that you and I have done. So this is another alternative way that we're getting information out. So listen in, they're on the health department website if you're interested.
And on Franklin Matters?
Yes.
On the radio too, right?
Spotify. And eventually on radio. Yeah, we just recorded it today. It'll be available next week sometime.
Yeah.
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the support for the work that the health department does. Any other new business?
Justin.
Okay. So nothing in the room. So with that being said, I'm not sure how many people are on the Zoom application. So if there are any comments from anyone on the line, now is the time. If you could raise your hand or just unmute and state your name. Going once, going twice. So I assume there are no comments. Sweet. All right, so with that being said, is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second motion.
Ooh, exciting. All in favor, Jeff?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. Excellent, thank you. The Franklin Board of Health will adjourn at 5:32. Have a great night, everyone.
Awesome.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.